Broadcasting live from the Lower Roswell Road in South Marietta Zaxby's Studios in Cobb County, it's time for Cobb Business Radio, spotlighting and highlighting business leaders in our area.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday after Labor Day. It still feels like Tuesday to me, but we are in the studio live today with Dr. Anitra Banning, and I am so excited for her to tell us all, especially me, because I really want to know about how to get, how to create really great programs to get corporate sponsors. Let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Anitra first. Dr. Anitra Banning is a leadership development strategist and expert. She is a woman with a fierce desire to see entrepreneurs and growing firms create custom company cultures. As founder and chief legacy officer of Power Profits Unlimited, she utilizes her trusted formula based on her over 15 years of professional experience within corporate and nonprofit environments to help CEOs and their teams lead effectively and architect wildly profitable companies. Her book, Trusted, will be released this fall. Dr. Anitra, get ready because we have a couple of schools to mention. But Dr. Anitra is a graduate of Hampton University, where she got her Bachelor of Arts. She is also a graduate of Carnegie Mellon University, H. John Hinds III School of Public Policy and Management, and she is a graduate of the University of Pittsburgh. Wow. That was a mouthful just listing your education, Dr. Manning. Good morning.
Good morning, Lanise.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
Congratulations on your new studio.
Thank you. I love it here. I kind of have to keep myself from staring out the window.
It is quite a view.
Yeah, but luckily it's cloudy today and my back is to the window. So all attention is on you right now.
Thank you.
So if you could just, I know I mentioned your background, but if you can tell us a little bit more about your leadership development programs. I know you've worked with Girl Scouts of the USA. You've worked with SunTrust. I mean, you've had a pretty terrific career.
Yeah, I have.
Mm-hmm.
It's been an honor.
So now you are devoted to helping corporations and small businesses become profitable.
I am.
I like that word profitable because there are so many small businesses that exist, but they would want to be profitable, right?
They would.
Right. So you've also I'm just reading a little bit of your information. You've also learned that owners pass through several thresholds before they hire their first employee and they actually begin creating the company and culture of their dreams. So if you can, tell me and our listeners a little bit about that.
Sure. So for the most part, a lot of companies really do get their start with thought they're going to make a lot of money. And sometimes it does not always happen within the time frame that we might imagine. It can take sometimes up to 3 to 7 years before a company can really make a profit.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so that really impacts the way that they're going to actually become leaders, because leaders must what? Have followers.
Right.
Right. And so we are oftentimes in a position of seeing people be solopreneurs. Mm-hmm. Until the time that they're able to hire someone. When they can hire someone, then they can become an employer.
Mm.
But becoming an employer takes money.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, people do not make that decision until, one, they either have some intellectual property on the line, or they have reached an excess of about $250K mm-hmm. that they've made before they hire their first employee.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why that happens is simply because it costs money.
Right.
It's not just that person's salary, but you have to tack on another 20% in order to take care of federally regulated kinds of things that you have to do, like healthcare.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that can cost a little bit of money for those folks. And so, yeah, so it takes money.
Yeah, I remember when I had, I've been an entrepreneur for 12, 13 years, but the first, I guess, it was still a small business, but it was the largest business that I had. I had about 12 or 13 employees. And I remember sitting down, calculating payroll, like, oh, I can do this. figuring out their hourly wage. So this is totally doable. And so the payroll company sent me my invoice.
Yes.
And I was like, I didn't anticipate these fees. So yeah, it definitely costs money to be the employer.
It really does. And there are some places where they get to hire people much faster, like in wholesale, retail, mm-hmm. those kinds of organizations, manufacturing, you know, if you're starting a parts business, like if you're a plumber, you might have to hire someone a little bit faster than before you reach 250K.
Right.
But for the most part, we're looking at professional services organizations or anyone that has a technology interest. They're typically waiting until they've reached a certain threshold, that 250K one, before
if they're
they actually
smart.
Hire. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, other people do it and then they wind up having some other obstacles that they run into, like, you know, payroll and things of that sort.
Surprise bills.
Tricky things. Yeah, surprise bills. But they can go through it.
So can you tell us a little bit about how does a company grow?
Yeah. So a company really grows by, one, they have to be very consistent and offer some strong products to the market. That's number one. So if your services are good, they're defined, you're trusted within the marketplace, that's how you're going to grow, because people know your reputation. Another thing is that you have to become a trusted advisor. You have to have a really great relationship with your clients. And I talk about this in the trusted formula a little bit. And then you also have to be able to leverage partnerships, which is what I'm going to talk about today. And others grow their businesses through the strategy of mergers and acquisitions. You also grow your business by making sure that you're identifying and onboarding the right talent. So those are the kind of strategies that companies typically use in order to grow. But I'm going to talk about partnerships.
Yay, let's go.
So I want to encourage the use of the word partnerships. I know we're talking about sponsorships, but I think the mind has to be in the right place first, you know, in terms of thinking about the fact that this is actually a partnership that you're really working on. And for any partnership to be truly successful, there must be a common why. You know? And so the common purpose, a set of common values really will govern, you know, whether or not you can work with one another. So you have to have that conversation first. Synergy must exist before you have any conversations around money.
Definitely.
Yeah, because if you don't have that, you really don't have anything that you're basing it on. So after you've established your common why, you must then understand and articulate the goals for your partnership. So, I mean, you know, a few years ago when I was working at the Girl Scouts USA, we were in the midst of doing some phenomenal events around the country. And one of the things that we were doing, because I was responsible for the entire leadership portfolio, the conference center, all of the events around Girl Scouts, I wanted to make sure that we were leveraging partnerships with people who were also in the space of leadership development.
Right.
Bringing them on to the Girl Scouts Conference Center, making sure that we're creating the space where they know who we are and that we're taking a strong position around women and girls leadership. But then also we wanted to have this partnership with an organization called the Peter Drucker Foundation. It's now the Francis Hesselbein Institute, Leadership Institute. But because they were publishing, and they still do publish magazines like the Leader to Leader, magazine. And then also they have huge amounts of capital with the thought leaders, you know, in that space all over the world. Well, in order to really leverage all of that, and it wasn't necessarily monetarily in that, at that time, it was really around the fact that we wanted to really make sure that we were doing some great things together.
Definitely.
So what we did was we articulated everything in a partnership agreement and then shook hands. And that was the basis of it. So we needed to have that first. The next thing you must do is also have an agreement on the benefits. You know, what is it that I bring to this? What is it that you bring to this? And, you know, and really don't disparage yourself because you may not be the party with the most money coming to the table. You have something.
Exactly.
Otherwise, that person wouldn't be there with you. And so then you have to think about how will you activate your partnership? What will you do to make it creative? And what will you do to measure that partnership? Those are the kind of things you want to start thinking about when you start having the first conversation. So we're not even talking about money yet.
Right.
Because that's when you're talking about partnership. I mean, a sponsorship. But right now when you're in a partnership phase, you're just filling each other out. It's like a first date.
Right, right. You don't want to get too heavy on the first date.
No, you don't. You never want to get heavy on the first date. You just want to find out, can we enjoy each other's company?
Right. And it's definitely, you know, as an attorney, you know, I always advise people to make sure you have these things in writing, not just for legal protection, but to protect that relationship.
That's right.
Because it would be so unfortunate if you both get into this agreement, and you both have different expectations, and then once it's over and your expectations haven't been met, which really haven't been articulated to the other person, then you lose that relationship.
It's true. It's true. And we don't want to have that happen.
No. We need to really make sure we foster our relationships. We don't want to get rid of anyone.
No. Mm-hmm. But when you have money that comes into the picture, Lanise.
Right.
Yeah, things really change.
Yep.
Yeah.
It That's really why it's important to put it in writing.
That's right. It always is.
So you've created, so many good points, but there's a dynamic at play when money is involved. So can you talk? Now, I know we mentioned it a little bit, but can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, because money changes everything.
Yes.
Yeah. Once money is on the table, your conversation tone changes. You're now in the negotiation zone, which I think you're pretty familiar with. Ladies.
Yes. The fun zone.
Yeah. So then you've got to come to the place where you can start talking about how do you actually share resources.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, both parties can bring something to the table. As I said earlier, just because you're not bringing the most amount of money to the relationship, you know, that right. doesn't mean that you don't have something powerful to bring.
Right. Give us some sweat equity.
You see? And so typically we're talking about a larger organization supporting a smaller organization. But both must be really clear on the shared value.
Definitely.
One might bring more money, but the other may bring programs that allow them to heighten their brand and reach their customer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if we go to the Falcons game,
mm-hmm.
what's going to happen there is you're going to see all these different companies who give visibility because the Falcons exist.
Exactly.
But the Falcons didn't finance their new stadium with Mercedes-Benz.
Right.
You know, just on the strength of being the Falcons, they had to partner with public entities and mm-hmm. have some creative financing in order to do that.
Right. So many people probably or likely have partnerships in place and these sponsorships in place, and we don't even realize it.
It's true. Everywhere around you, someone is trying to get their brand in front of others.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're doing is providing the conduit for that to happen
mm-hmm.
through your programs, through your events. But the thing is, you want to make sure that you're creating an environment that a sponsor would want to be a part of.
Definitely. And while we're speaking of sponsors, let me just take a moment to just recognize our corporate sponsor here for COD Business Radio X. Our corporate sponsor is Zaxby's. Those two locations in Marietta at 2080 Lower Roswell Road and also at 591 South Marietta Parkway. And I have to agree with their tagline. They are indescribably good. So just to go back to our interview, but of course I have to make sure I mention our fabulous sponsor because without them we probably wouldn't be here.
You see, and that's important mm-hmm. to mention your sponsor. This is the reason why they've chosen you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad they chose us.
Mm-hmm. Because they you know that you're providing quality programs.
Mm-hmm.
And when they see that happening continuously, that's when they want to lend their brand.
Right. We yeah. appreciate them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So while we're still on the subject of sponsorships, if you can tell our listeners a little bit more about why sponsorships are important.
Yeah. So sponsorships are really important, particularly in the life of a small business owner, because what they do is that they lend credibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a few years ago, I was at Meredith College and I had a goal of really reaching the entire state of North Carolina, particularly its women's executives. And I wanted to be sure that that we heighten the visibility of Meredith College and its Institute for Women's Leadership. We had a mm-hmm. Women's Leadership Summit. So what I did was I looked for sponsorships all throughout the state of North Carolina. We were fortunate enough at the time to have AT&T be our presenting
awesome.
Sponsor for this conference. What that did is it lended credibility to what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
We had several other significant, huge Fortune 500 sponsors as well. What you want to do is to identify those who really have an affinity for what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that in a way that makes sense, it will lend credibility to your event. Secondly, it gives visibility and it gets some marketing kind of support. Because when you have a significant kind of relationship, a corporate relationship, what it does is they begin to tell their network about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then,
who then tells their network
about
right.
it. And then other people see that, oh, you know, this company is associated with your event.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it must be a great and quality event because they would not make that investment.
That instant credibility.
It does. And it creates cost savings as well. Let's
mm-hmm.
not deny it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're a small business or when you're a nonprofit entity and you're trying to do an event, you don't have all the money in the world.
Right.
But if that person can come in and you can identify a good price point for their sponsorship, then it can work for you.
Right. It's a win-win situation.
It's a win-win situation. And we all want to create programs to help us to attract sponsorships, secure new prospective partnerships mm-hmm. and to make money.
Definitely. We all want to make money.
We do.
Yeah, it's,
we do.
It's great. That's why it's a win-win situation, because they get the exposure, they get the recognition, you get the credibility, and everybody's able to make some money at the end of the
day.
It's
true. It's mm-hmm. true.
So how can one create these programs that can attract sponsors?
Yeah, because that's the reason why we're here today.
Right.
So
don't want to rush you.
So one of the key things that we want to make sure that we're doing when we are planning programs, when we are doing events, is we want to make sure that we first have an audience.
Mm-hmm.
Are people listening to you? Do you have a captive audience?
Mm-hmm.
Build that up first, because what that will do is when you go to see that potential sponsor, they will actually hear you, because you have a group of people who are in your village, your
Definitely.
Tribe. Your peeps, you know, and if you can have that audience, it's going to be really important. So mm-hmm. if you've linked up with an institution and they have credibility, that gives you credibility.
Mm-hmm.
You have an audience. If your work is quality and good, you will gain followers. And mm-hmm. so they want to first know, do you have people?
Right. Do you have peeps?
Do you have peeps? Are people listening mm-hmm. to you and your voice? And so that audience must also be one that the sponsor is interested in.
Mm-hmm.
So you
Definitely.
Want to create something that a sponsor will be interested in. If you're having a technology event and you have the population that, let's say, a huge giant like Samsung might be interested in,
mm-hmm.
you have technology entrepreneurs, you know, and they have a new technology that they're releasing mm-hmm. that's going to help, you know, small businesses.
Help
and,
them get
you know,
exposure to your audience.
They're going to get that exposure to mm-hmm. their audience. So you want to make sure that you select your audience and your potential partner wisely.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
The next thing is you must have great content. And that content must keep your audience engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't bore them.
Right.
So you want to keep them engaged and you want to keep them captive mm-hmm. the entire time that they're with you. The sponsor wants your program to be successful
mm-hmm.
so that there are good feelings around their product as a result of their connection with your program. You think about the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are times when the Olympics or the Super Bowl can create some redeeming qualities for a potential sponsor. Let's just say they had a scandal that hit just before that whole, you know, that event. Well, and this has actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
If they are releasing a series of commercials, think about what happened with BP after the spill.
Right.
And then they began to create this whole environment around making sure that everyone understood that they were committed to creating a more green planet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was everything that they did. They did that during the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was about that. And over time, people began to have that trust in that product again, right? And so what that can do is by having the exposure with connection with the right event, it can help the sponsor get out a particular message.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you really want to have happen.
It's like great PR.
It is phenomenal PR.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love it.
It truly is. The next thing is that you want to make sure that you present your content in a very elegant way.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to be sure that it's extremely polished. And so your materials, your venue, the experience needs to be world class and it needs to be distinguished. The sponsor wants to know again that this is a place worthy of investment.
Definitely, because it's not only your brand, it's their brand as well. So
That's
they
right.
have to protect their
they
brand.
They have put their name on the line
right.
for you.
Right.
You know, and for your business or your nonprofit entity.
Mm-hmm.
And so they want to know it's going to be successful. So it must be packaged. It must have the entire experience that is aligned with everything that you are saying is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It must be done to perfection.
Definitely.
It's very critical. You must also demonstrate shared value in your benefit-laden sponsorship proposal.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very important to lay it all out there, what you're proposing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you're also going to get that really great sponsor. You present everything in such an irresistible way that companies want to invest continually in what you have to offer. The reason why is found in your last 2 points. Again, you're creating something that is a polished, distinguished event. People can come to it. This, you know, great audience.
Mm-hmm.
And you're demonstrating that inside of your proposal. Everything that you're doing is with the interest of not only having that sponsor for that one time. But again, they really are your partner.
Right.
They're with you over the life of your company. Mm-hmm. You just can't mess it up.
Right. You know, foster that relationship.
Foster the relationship. Mm-hmm. You have to constantly create programs, services that are of value. And when they see that continuously, they will align themselves with your product mm-hmm. or service.
Definitely.
So I want to say something about making sure that you also deliver a really well-organized, learning-focused kind of program.
Mm-hmm.
I have attended quite a few events, and I have seen that, there has to be a lot of intention
mm-hmm.
around making sure that people coming out of the event haven't been transformed, haven't had a phenomenal experience.
Right.
And you have that happen when you realize the different people that you have in the room.
Mm-hmm.
You have people who are going to be in your room that are visual.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have videos for mm-hmm. that person. Captivating things that they will see, because then their senses will be engaged, and then they
right.
can, you know, start seeing, oh, this is credible. I can trust what I'm going to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have people who are auditory learners.
Mm-hmm.
And those auditory folks can remember something from 1958.
That's me.
Yeah. They can remember. Yeah. Because, see, that's why you're an attorney.
That's
right?
How I got through law school.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, it's really, really important, you see. And so the auditory learner, you can talk to them all day long and they're going to remember it, and they're going to, you know, things are going to happen for them.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have people who are kinesthetic learners. Mm-hmm. They have to touch and see. So these mm-hmm. are people that need roundtable sessions. They need to play with paper. And mm-hmm. so you need to give them something to write down.
Mm-hmm.
Play
with paper. That's
play
fun.
With paper. They have to have something, and they want you to recount all of the points, you know,
uh-huh.
because that's how they're going
that's
to connect
learn.
And that's how they learn. A lot of times we have to be very mindful that people are there not only for this great networking experience, but they also have to learn. They have to be transformed as a result of being there.
Right.
So this is the way that you get raving fans, so that people want to come back because they get something of value
mm-hmm.
for being there at that event.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you present that to them, and this may not always make it into the proposal, but you certainly are providing somewhat of a high level view of what it is that you're going to do. But when you have your actual conference, your event, and you have given people some meat and potatoes and not just a salad,
mm-hmm.
they will come back repeatedly.
Definitely. So I've yeah. heard the same word when you've spoken of attendees at an event
mm-hmm.
or program, and also when you've spoken of the potential sponsor, you've used the word experience
mm-hmm.
over and over.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like the key element in creating these relationships with your peeps, with your tribe,
yes.
or with these sponsors is to really create an experience.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And the experience, I'm glad you put it like that, because the experience should really come from your heart.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is what has made the events that I've done a success.
Mm-hmm.
I see other events that are done really well. It's because that person really had a heart for the
right.
audience. They
right.
had a heart for service.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to make sure people came out of that event with something that was really, really different.
Mm-hmm.
And should not be something that you can otherwise find in the marketplace. Otherwise,
right.
why are you there?
Right. What sets you apart?
Right. Mm-hmm. What is your distinguishing factor?
Mm-hmm.
And so your event should be on the cutting edge. And oftentimes my secret sauce is that I read.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds
mm-hmm.
very fundamental,
mm-hmm.
right? But
it's so true.
But it's true. But how do you find out what is new? What's cutting edge out
if
there?
You
if you're
read.
Not reading,
right.
looking at social media, finding
mm-hmm.
out what are the latest trends. If you're not looking at Harvard Business Review or The Economist and looking at edgy magazines, looking
right.
at things like Entrepreneur, reading technology, kinds of publications.
Things are changing every day.
They do. But the thing is, you can learn a lot
right.
by simply engaging in other platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that that's really important. You look at the world differently. So it's not just my discipline. Like
mm-hmm.
if my discipline has been leadership development and learning for most of my career, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just looking at Chief Learning Officer magazine. I have to look very broadly at what's happening out there.
Right.
And I think that's the same for everyone. We have to be aware of what's happening across industry. Why not pick up a science-based magazine?
So true.
Mm-hmm. You know, because while you're reading that new way of thinking and being, something could occur to you
mm-hmm.
about mm-hmm. what you're doing.
Right.
So it's really important to kind of take an interdisciplinary kind of approach mm-hmm. to developing programs and be novel and not be afraid to kick around some new ideas mm-hmm. and do something different. Again, there are a gazillion conferences every single year around the country and the globe. Mm-hmm. You know, but what will make you different than everyone else is if you can find out what it is that you can offer distinctly to the marketplace and capitalize on that.
So true.
Yeah, because then people will come from all over the world.
Right, right, right. So this is my question. So you found that person who definitely, the two of your, you know, you have an audience that they would that they would actually be attracted to. Your program is great. You know, you're innovative. Everything is great about the program you're about to launch. So how do you present that information to a potential sponsor? How do you contact them? Like, I know you mentioned having it all laid out and explain everything that they would receive from the mm-hmm. sponsorship, but do you email them? Do you call them? Like, what is the best approach to doing that?
Yes, I can tell you what I've done. What I did was I networked. Mm-hmm. I networked and I made solid first impressions. Mm-hmm. And I connected with the brand that I represented. Mm-hmm. And then as I did that, I just had relationship building meetings. Again, when I talked earlier about really creating partnerships, because you cannot create a sponsorship without first having a partnership.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So I didn't go out there looking for the money. Mm-hmm. That wasn't my first thing, nor did I have the event already solidified either. Mm-hmm. I at first wanted to build my community. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know that there were other women executives in every position that I've been at who could connect with what it is that I was trying to do.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that so many people don't think about. They mm-hmm. think about, well, let me call so-and-so company, XYZ company, and ask them for money. It all starts with a relationship.
That's right. You have to have the relationship first. Mm-hmm. And so, but the relationship is predicated upon you already having a solid reputation.
Right.
You know, and so you cannot have a name that is not quality, a good name out there, mm-hmm. and then get meetings.
Right. Right. It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. The doors mm-hmm. will close. Mm-hmm. So what you want to be able to do is to have these wonderful relationships that you've been building up over time. Mm-hmm. This way, when you get to your event, people will want to come.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And I know that might hit some people really hard because they're thinking, well, gee, I can just go ahead and have this wonderful event. And if I have this phenomenal event, then I can just go ahead and call the sponsors and they would want me. They would want to connect with me and my company. But you have to really take a step back because remember, it's not about you.
Exactly.
It's about your audience.
Oh, say it again, Dr.
Anitra. It's not about you. It's about your audience. Again, the reason why there are some events that are successful and others that are not is because some people have a heart of service and others just do not.
So true. And I see that yeah. so often. And, you know, people come to me and they say, oh, you know, I went to such and such conference. I went to XYZ conference and I could really see the heart of the person.
Yes.
Like the two of us, we met at, what's it called? Pinkpreneur. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Felicia Phillips, she just has a heart for just helping women in business like that. You can just tell her presence, everything just screams, I want to help you.
Right.
So her event was amazing, whereas you can go somewhere else and they may just be doing it for the money. And it's a totally different experience.
Right. And you can feel that. And guess who also feels that? Your sponsor.
Your sponsors. I see where you're going, Dr.
Yeah,
Anitra.
Your sponsor can feel it. Your partners can feel it. Because again, going back to this whole thing, this fine line between partners and sponsors, your partners may not always have money, but they may have people.
Exactly. I just did a blog post about this. I love it.
They may have your
people. Think alike.
Yeah. They may have your people. And your sponsors may have money and people. So you want to cultivate really, really, really solid relationships, but you want them to also know that you're a person about your word. You're mm-hmm. a person that can get results as mm-hmm. well. And that's going to bring me to my last two points around how do you secure your partnerships mm-hmm. and your sponsorships.
Definitely. Well, before we mm-hmm. do that, let's just take a little break. For
sure.
those that are listening, let them know how they can reach you and how they can find out more.
Thank you. So My website is simply www.anitramanning.com. Mm-hmm. My first name is spelled A-N-I-T-R-A, Manning, mm-hmm. like Eli and Peyton.
We're not going to talk
People
about them today.
Oftentimes can remember those names.
Right.
So, but it's AnitraManning.com, and I'm also on all social media with the handle Dr. Anitra at Dr. Anitra, D-R-A-N-I-T-R-A. Mm-hmm. And I'm on every social media platform, I think.
As Dr. Anitra?
Murkat. I'm on Twitter. Yep. Twitter. Dr. Anitra. Mm-hmm. LinkedIn. Dr. Anitra. I'm on Instagram. Everything that we have on social media. I'm on Periscope occasionally, but I want to do more things like this, mm-hmm. Where I can have the conversation interactively.
Well, you're always welcome here.
So thank you for having me.
Definitely.
So the last 2 points mm-hmm. that I really think is a distinguishing factor, because I think sometimes we don't see this within all organizations when they're having events, is measurement and evaluation. Mm-hmm. So it's really important that we have a mind for measurement at the very beginning. So when you're starting up, thank you. I look forward to working with you, too. I'm looking at our Periscope connection right now.
Oh, yes. We're on Periscope.
Yes, yes, yes. And so it's really, really, really important for folks to really think about measurement at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And so when you're starting your event, when you're talking about your objectives, what do you want people to come away from the experience with, your learning objectives, you are then engaged in measurement, mm-hmm. which is really important, because then you have to create your way so you collect to collect that data. Mm-hmm. So you might have a survey, a paper survey, which is always good, because then people are captive. They feel under hostage.
Because some people like to play with paper, too.
They do. I told you, those kinesthetic people, they're always around. They need paper. And
hilarious.
So you got to give them that paper. And so they can see that, oh, I can leave comments. And sometimes people miss out on this at an event, but you really want that, because it gives you that data point that you need to improve mm-hmm. your event for the next time that you have one. Mm-hmm. And it also gives you the ability to have something that you can use for your evaluation process. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, you want to have results. Now, you just can't give results to a sponsor and say, yeah, I had, you know, 150 people at my last event. Oh, I had 600 people at my last
event. But 75 of them left.
Yeah, I mean, that's
through.
Not really, you know, data that they want to see. They
right.
want to see, oh, did you have 1,000 people at your event? Mm-hmm. Were they engaged at your event? How do you know that they were engaged mm-hmm. at your event? These are things that are going to be of interest to a sponsor. They want the quantifiable ways of being able to measure success. Mm-hmm. And if we leave these things out, one, we don't have the data by which to improve the quality of our events. But second, we have nothing to tell in terms of our story to a potential sponsor, because a sponsor has the ability to offer more money
right.
year after year after year if you're giving them a successive set of successes. Mm-hmm. And so if they have
a lot of S's.
A lot of S's. successive set of successes.
Right.
There's our morning tongue twister
right.
for you.
I like it.
And so, but it's really, really, really important uh-huh. to do that. Mm-hmm. You've got to have your metrics. Mm-hmm. And so that's the one distinguishing thing I would say. That's another part of my secret sauce, is the ability to create a really strong survey instrument. And you know what? It doesn't always have to be at the event itself. There are people who are more visual, people mm-hmm. like me, mm-hmm. visual learners. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to remember the experience. And so if you hit me up the next day, or what I like to do is to have the survey waiting for them the moment that the last person has given their talk or the last workshop session. Maybe you have a coaching event at your conference. Mm-hmm. When that last session is over with, that's when they receive the survey in their inbox. Mm. And that way you can get those instantaneous kinds of results. Otherwise, you know, sometimes, you know, you have the pen and paper. Mm-hmm. I mean, that will work, but you also can have that larger mm-hmm. overall experience survey that you're sending
right.
the next day. And then maybe you're doing some follow-up interviews with people who attended the conference. This way you're able to get some more qualitative data as well. So
right.
you can tell people, this is what this person said, the testimonials. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it done many different ways. You can also have videos outside of your session as well. Mm-hmm. I think those are great. But the key thing that you want to be able to do is to be able to attend to the need that your sponsors will have for real data.
Definitely.
Yeah. Not just, oh, I think this is good. Like, imagine someone saying, hey, I think we should give this millions of dollars to have a commercial on Super Bowl Sunday. Why do you want to do it?
Right.
We think this is just a great idea. Okay, now why do you want to do
right.
it?
Who's your audience?
Right.
Who are you
Who's
trying to
your
reach?
Audience who do you want to reach? And hey, do you actually have any data to suggest that if we do this commercial during this time, it's going to improve, you know, our rankings, mm-hmm. our visibility in front of the American public? You've got to have something to offer. And so you have to think with the mind of what your marketer is actually looking to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are they trying to do and how do you help them to make that happen? So you want to also have inside of your survey something that speaks to that marketer,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that that person, like if it's, you know, a big fast food chain, you want to be able to say, you know, in your survey, has your impression of them changed as a result of being at this event?
Mm-hmm.
So you integrate things that are going to help your sponsor see that you really, you know, created a platform for them. Maybe they're hosting a session at your workshop, mm-hmm. at your event, you know, but you want to make that sponsor feel like it's their event.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
You know, because again, that's when you are really a partner.
Right.
And
right.
not just a sponsor. And then they will repeatedly come back after you. I have people that still come to me, you know, looking for me to support their events.
Mm-hmm.
I've moved away from other places that I used to live.
Mm-hmm.
But,
and still
you know, that they're still looking for me because they know that I'm a good partner.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you want. You want to transform yourself from just being seen as that person at that organization to a really strong partner.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes for if you're a nonprofit entity or if you are a for-profit organization.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be seen as that strong partner mm-hmm. that organization
right.
can trust year after year.
And the good thing about that is even when there's not an event going on, I'm sure if you have that great relationship, that great partnership, you can still promote that sponsor's business even when the program isn't going on.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So you're still an advocate for them.
You're
all
still
the time,
an advocate.
All year.
Yeah. And that's a really good point, Lanise, is that you both become partners,
mm-hmm.
you know, both organizations become partners for one another.
Mm-hmm.
So that a company should feel very comfortable recommending your services
right.
wherever they are.
Right.
You know, and so they know that if you want good, you know, legal representation, you want someone that's going to really give you a good amount of business advice. It's going to
mm-hmm.
help you keep your feet on solid ground.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to Lanise Williams.
Thank you. And if you want information on great leadership strategies and how to create more money in your business, you should contact Dr. Anitra Manning.
You see, and that's how that goes. When mm-hmm. people go out, they always are representing, because when you go into a room, you carry all of your relationships with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just whether or not you're going to open up your mouth and share that.
So
or not.
True. So
you
true.
Know? So you want to make it easy for people to talk
right.
about you.
And I was talking about this just recently. I did a blog post about this. There are so many people that are in our back pockets and we don't even realize it, because we may feel like, okay, I know Jane Doe next to me, you know, but Jane Doe's not an entrepreneur. There's not much Jane Doe can help me with, but you don't know who Jane Doe knows.
That's right.
You don't know who someone in Jane Doe circle knows that can really help you and your business get to the next level or get that relationship with a potential sponsor. You just don't know who's around you. And even, you know, like you said, just you have to be willing to ask, you know, you people are so quick to call their family and friends and say, hey, I had a blowout on 285. Can you come help me? Or, you know, I have a last minute meeting. Can you come watch my kids for me? But when you need something in your business, you don't ask those same people that you're asking for things in your personal life.
Yeah, your personal network
right.
cannot be the same. Well, they sometimes may be, but
mm-hmm.
for the most part, our professional and personal networks are very, very different
mm-hmm.
from one another.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we've got to be sure that we cultivate all. And, you know, one of the greatest lessons I learned about networking, I learned from my father.
Mm-hmm.
My father was not only a great civil servant for many years, but he was also a representative with his local union. You know, when, you know,
mm-hmm.
unions are pretty big in the Northeast where I'm from. And he said the most important thing that you want to be able to do is whenever you go into a room, be sure that you are first identifying the person you most want to meet.
Before you even start talking.
Know who's there that you really want to meet.
Mm-hmm.
And then find out who has that person's ear.
Mm.
Once you've identified that number two person to that number one person, you introduce yourself to number two. Create that solid first impression. And then that person will highly recommend you to person number one, who you really came there to meet.
I like that.
This way, you can leave
mm-hmm.
after you've made your wonderful impression. Because oftentimes we'll go to an event and we'll feel the need to stay all day long.
Right.
And you don't need to do that. You need to just, you know, be wise
mm-hmm.
before you walk in. And that has really worked well for me. When I was trying to build up those initial networks, when I came into both of the organizations that I've had some of my biggest wins with, I first made sure that I had the ear mm-hmm. of that number two mm-hmm. so I can meet that number one with great credibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if we all network with that, I think that we would probably have more successes.
Mm-hmm.
And this doesn't mean that you don't talk to anybody else in the room because that would be like being a snob. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not even here for you. But if you can put yourself in a position wherein you're really thinking thoughtfully, you're being mindful of why you're there, you have a very clear intention when mm-hmm. you come into the room, that will really serve you well mm-hmm. in all things.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, you got to be the queen or king of first impressions.
Yes, mm-hmm. because you don't get a second chance
you
to make a first
a
impression.
You do not get a second chance.
Great. This was awesome information. I appreciate you coming on and sharing this
Thank
with our audience
you.
And with me. I
Thank
like it.
Thank you. Thank you.
So if our listeners want to know more about you and how they can work with you, reach you, please tell them.
Yeah. So if you want to work with me, and I'm going to begin having a series of webinars on this very topic mm-hmm. around how do you actually convert your relationships into really strong sponsorships. And how do you create programs that sponsors want to endorse, mm-hmm. pay for? I'm going to start a webinar series on that. And so if everyone would follow me on social media,
mm-hmm.
on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
on Facebook, on Instagram,
mm-hmm.
I will begin announcing when those webinar dates will be. And then if people want to work with me a little bit more intimately, I can help them from the whole point of having a whole content design, you know, okay. how do you structure and create programs
nice.
That people will pay for mm-hmm. through the point of really securing that sponsorship. And so those are really strong relationships, my MVP relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can also work with me on that as well. But definitely follow me on social media, as I said earlier. Absolutely go to my website, mm-hmm. www.anitramanning.com. Mm-hmm. My name is spelled A-N-I-T-R-A. Manning, MANNING.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be excited to work with you. And then also on my website today as a free gift. If they go on there and they click under the news and events section, mm-hmm. they can download a copy of what I have as the CEO Manifesto.
Oh, I like that title.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And so we go on there. You can then, you know, download that document
mm-hmm.
and it really speaks to the heart of what the small business owner should have in mind as they're growing up their companies.
Awesome. And just to reiterate, you said your social media handles were Dr. Anitra.
Right. D-R-A-N-I-T-R-A. Dr. Anitra. So I'm really excited. Please do follow me on all social media. Like I said, I'm on Twitter. I'm very active on Facebook, on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also on Periscope.
You're everywhere.
Instagram.
I love it.
I'm everywhere. Even Pinterest. I'm there too.
Awesome.
I love posting on Pinterest. So yeah, I'm on all of social media. The only one I think I'm not on is Blab and Meerkat.
Yeah, I haven't gotten into those yet either.
Yeah, but I think Blab is probably something that will be forthcoming
mm-hmm.
soon. But for now.
So look for her on Blab later.
Yeah, but for now, the key social media platforms that I will be on are the top three.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Twitter. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. I enjoyed having me.
Of course.
You know, this was just a wonderful opportunity to come and chat, and I really look forward to working with your listeners and working
definitely
with you.
And coming back as well.
Thank you. I'd love to. I have a lot to share.
Awesome. So anytime you have something going on and you want to share it with our listeners, feel free to come back to
thank
the studio.
Thank you for that invitation, Lanisa.
You're so
welcome. I appreciate that.
See, we have to have, we're partners.
This is
how it works. Relationships.
Exactly. This is what we're talking about. I'm just looking at a Periscope right now, looking at some of our listeners. This was a value to them as well. They're giving us
awesome.
A round of applause, Lanisa.
Yay. That's all for you, Dr. Anitra. I love it.
Thank you.
So thank you all for listening. And don't forget our corporate sponsor, especially if you're in need of catering. They offer catering for all small to mid-sized businesses. You can check out Zaxby's, the Lower Roswell Road location, and also the South Marietta Parkway location, both in Marietta. So until next time, have a great week.